Welcome to The Swing, a Pendulum production. I'm Heather Bakken, co-founder of Pendulum. Today, my co-founding partners, Yaroslav Baran and Benjamin Perkis, are going to talk about campaign branding. So for episode 3, I'm going to hand it over to them.
Hi, Ben. Welcome to The Swing.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
All right. This week, we're going to talk about political brands. What kind of thinking, what kind of considerations go into devising a campaign slogan, a campaign look and feel?
Well, for me, I think one of the most important things to do is your background research on the candidate, the theme, the party, whatever it is, you need to know who that candidate is, who that person is, and who their personality is, so that you can best create a brand suited to them, right? It's, you know, we all know what it looks like when you put a political person in an environment where they're uncomfortable. Look at, you know, Harper in the sweater vest, right? It does not seem authentic. And so when you're creating a brand, you want to pull elements that make the candidate seem and feel the most authentic they possibly can be. So, for example, when we worked on the Kevin O'Leary campaign, his brand is black suit, right? Every time you see him, he is in a black suit and a white shirt. And so our brand colors reflected that. It was black for his black suit, and we did red to bring in the Canada colors. And so we took what was best suited for each candidate and used that to create a brand that people can then recognize.
Yes, an interesting point you're making. I mean, we've seen some echoes of this or some discussion about this in the current campaign. People advising Pierre Poilievre, look, you're a fighter, you're a scrapper. Lean into that. Don't try to suddenly become the salve, the lozenge for the public that's concerned about Donald Trump. And similarly, one of the fairly general critiques of Carney is that he lifts words off a page like the Ranvilles. He's not exciting. There's not a lot of fire in the belly in terms of his presentation. And so his advisors are saying, you know what, lean into that, be that calming, cerebral presence that'll make people feel assured. So is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the challenges that both candidates have, on the Carney side, the general public don't really know who he is. And so trying to make a brand that truly sticks to his personality and to make that an authentic brand is really difficult, because they could come up with an incredible brand with a great slogan, everything that should work. But because the public hasn't seen him in a political life or even really in a public facing life, that brand could completely miss the mark. And then on the flip side, you've got Pierre, who has built an incredible brand around him, or did until the Trump factor came into effect and sort of blew everything out of the water. But when he tries to do something that isn't true to his original brand of why he won the leadership, which is speaking to the people of, axing taxes, right? All those pocketbook issues. When he doesn't speak to that, that's when things seem to fall off a little bit. And that's why you've seen in the last week or 2 weeks, him lean back into that original brand that got him the popularity that he had over the last 2 years.
So the key takeaway then is be true to yourself. Don't try to be something you're not, and lean into your strengths.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. Now, what do you make of the campaign slogans in this election? Canada strong for the Liberals, Canada first for the Conservatives, or it started out off as Canada First, then evolved to Canada First for a Change. And then the New Democrats are using In It For You. What are they trying to achieve with these?
With all of these slogans, they're trying to lean into what Canadians want. And, you've got a bit of a challenge here, because Canadians want multiple things. They want to fight against Trump, but then they've also got looming mortgages that are up for renewal. Everyone got cheap mortgages in COVID, and now they're all up. And they're worried about if they're going to be able to afford it. But right now, you've got a huge distraction of, we need to be more patriotic and put Canada as a whole on the forefront. And so, generally speaking, I think everyone's done the best job that they possibly could with their slogans, and they're all great for their own reasons. Canada strong for the Liberals. I mean, it is just showing strength and unity because that's what Canada wants as a whole.
It's kind of reminiscent of that, like, you know, Live Strong, the charity, the cancer charity by Lance Armstrong, or Humboldt Strong, you know, after that horrific bus crash a number of years ago, sort of a solidarity thing.
Yeah, exactly. And that really ties into the Liberal brand, right? You will find the same supporter base that supports all of those initiatives that are going to support and stand behind this Canada Strong brand. And I think the Liberals have been, or the Liberal supporters have been looking for a renewed leadership since the fall of Trudeau. I would say even in the last year, looking for somebody to come and take the reins to lead them forward with greater strength.
What about Canada First for a change? What do you make of that one? What are they trying to do here?
I find it to be interesting. I really like the addition of for a change, and I wish that they had come out of the gate with that. Canadians are humble. You know, if you bump into somebody at Canadian Tire, they're apologizing to you, right? You know, we never put ourselves first. And now, as we face the greatest beat that we have come across in the last, 50, 60 years with Trump, it's time for us to put ourselves first for the greater good of Canada, because we really lack that. We're a humble nation, but yet we're also proud. And so this slogan really harks to that. And I feel had they put it from the get-go, it would resonate with a much stronger base and audience.
Okay, the New Democrats, in it for you. What does that mean? Are they saying in it for you, not for the billionaires? Or is it in it for you, not for the Americans? Is it a crisp slogan, do you find?
I find in it for you to be a bit disjointed. When Jugmeet is driving around in his Maserati, it's a hard sell to then tell Canadians in it for you. And look, being a politician is difficult work, and you are always allowed to spend money how you see best fit. But there is also, a bit of an appearance factor that you have to live up to. And so I think that it's very transparent. The in it for you, it to me, it falls flat in this case, because nothing the New Democrats have done have shown that.
So brand consistency, you've got to live it as well as say it.
Absolutely. And we just aren't seeing it.
Visual brands then, what are you seeing from the various parties? How does that play to their overall messaging? Or even like, what are some of the more successful campaign brands that you've seen overall, in this campaign or generally?
In the last 20 years, the best campaign brand that I have seen would be the Obama 2008 campaign. It was patriotic. It was all-encompassing. It had the sea, the sky, the land, you name it. It was all built within that brand. It had his last name as the O. His brand was one of the most welcoming brands that we have seen, and it was a breath of fresh air. His candidacy, generally speaking, was completely different than what American politics had seen before. And he embraced it. He embraced the public using his logo as they saw fit. He gave out artwork files so that people could redesign them and have fun with it and explore that brand. And so he connected with voters in a way that most political parties never will on an individual basis. And as a creative, I love that. They have books on his brand, right? No one has books on his brand, right? So to me, that was probably the greatest political brand we've seen in a long, long time. On the flip side, what I found to be a bit of a dud was the recent Ontario Liberal logo. It has a big heart in the middle of it. And I'm not exactly sure what Bonnie Crombie and the Liberals were thinking with this brand, if they were trying to pull on the heartstrings from the federal Liberals of people who like the Justin Trudeau brand. But to me, it was a very weak positioning of their brand, which generally speaking in Ontario is very strong. In the McGuinty Wynn era, they had an incredibly strong brand in Ontario, and that's been decimated. And putting out a lovey-dovey logo is not the way to show power and leadership. When you're facing the threats that we face down south, Trump will walk all over you the second he sees that logo. And to me, that was a big mistake, and it didn't allow them to properly connect with other base potentials.
Do you think the contrast ended up helping Doug Ford?
Absolutely, it did. You know, Doug Ford's brand of Protect Ontario was in action. It was putting Ontario first, no matter what. He was standing up in front of Trump on a regular basis. He was standing up in front of Canada saying, I'm going to champion Canada no matter what the cost, more so than Trudeau did. And so for the Liberals to put out a weak logo like what they did, it just showed they were out of touch with what was needed for their base.
Public mood. I guess that's what you want to do with a brand. You want to capture the public mood in that campaign.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Look, final question. Like you are Pendulum's creative director. You do branding work for companies. You do brand work for political parties and political campaigns. What's more fun?
Time and time again, as much as I want to get away from politics, I find that it still lets me be the most creative person that I can be, right? I got my start in the creative world in the Harper era, and I worked under some of the best leadership with Michael Scarcaro or Akiva Prell, Patrick Muttard, Doug Finley. And so it taught me to be creative, but to be very particular about every element. And so when I get to design a candidate branding, whether it's, you know, Charest or O'Leary or whoever it's going to be next, or a website like the Ontario PC Party, it allows me to have free rein within a political constraint. Let me explain that a little bit, because you need to be able to change the minds of people. It's not just one group of people who are athletes. Or one group of people who like fashion. You're trying to change the minds of an entire country or an entire province. And so it takes a bit more finesse, and it really pushes your creative abilities to the absolute max. Being able to research what are some of the greatest political wins in all of history and how do we do better? And to me, that's the biggest challenge and the funnest challenge on my part when I go into a brand, whether it's corporate or political. But the simple answer to answer your question would be politics.
That's exactly how I feel about speech writing. You know, that research, get those historical connections and whatever. And yeah, you get a bit more. Yeah, you get a lot of kick out of it in a political environment for sure. Okay, thanks. Thanks for joining us. I think that's all the time we have. And final point about brands, you did a fantastic job for the Canada Strong and Free Network. I love how you freshened up the look and introduced so many elements to make it really relevant to all of today's discussion. So that's off to you, my friend.
No, I appreciate that. And one final point on that, that was fortunate, because working with that organization, they said, do whatever you want. And so that was a mix of corporate and political all in one shot. And I had a blast with that, because it's something that I truly believe in and the cause that they represent.